what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
That's right. Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. You're kicking off Wednesday Warfare. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And across from me, as always, he's working a full 5 days this week, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it feel to be a working man?
Oh my gosh, Eddie, it's so good. And next week, though, I'm working 0 days, which is good. I'm going up to...
That is not surprising.
We're going up to the Great Wolf Lodge. We're going to spend a couple days there.
I've heard about that
I'm
place.
Going to be a watchdog at my kids' elementary school, where I have to just sit down and make sure that nothing bad happens at school. So I'll be there all day.
So just at school? You'll just be sitting at school?
Yep, at their elementary school. I'm not sure what I'll be doing there, but you have to be there all day long. And then on Thursday...
I know what you'll be doing.
Yeah, well...
You'll be on the MMA Junkie app all day long.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And then Thursday, Friday, I will... I think I'll be at the lake and golfing and hopefully have good weather. So
I'm just going to start calling you Kramer.
Well, I hope there's not any other connotation in that one, Eddie.
It's a charmed life.
Man. Okay, well, good. Well, Eddie, it's a good night. It's a good night to be here. I have, in the last week, I've had Franklin's twice. I don't know if you saw that on my... my Instagram last week.
I did see that. I think I called you a name.
Oh, my gosh. What was that?
Jerk face? I don't know.
I don't know. It was so good. The burn ends on that were
like,
so good.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Yeah. I had Franklin's again this week. I had it yesterday. It was fantastic. Just not as much, though. Just a good piece of brisket.
Who's waiting in line for you? You got interns?
No, you don't have to wait in line anymore. You can order it online and go pick it up.
How far ahead?
A week? 2 weeks? So the old days where you had to order on a Monday of like the first Monday of the month for the following month, You now can put an order in and then you can look at their calendar and say, okay, what day do I want to pick it up? We booked it for like 2 weeks in advance.
So you're telling me they bought a second smoker?
When they fixed the fire, they did a lot, but it's awesome.
Well, that's good.
We had, I think, 15 pounds of meat for the 10 of us.
I thought you looked a little chunky there.
I'm keeping it tight. I mean, I'm only on protein right now. I'm getting into ketosis.
Oh yeah, so, a little animal diet there.
Oh man, so that was that was great. No, I told you last week, Eddie, Cedar Park High School.
I was going to ask.
It hasn't happened yet. It's this Friday night at UT, 7 o'clock, and so we'll be there. So it's going to be a good time. I'll tell you how it goes next week. But
nice water polo.
We've got the state tournament in water polo this weekend at UT.
I didn't even know they had such a thing.
Yeah,
but I'm from a small town. We don't have a pool, you know.
Yeah,
there's like a city pool. Nothing for the school. You're lucky we have a track.
Yeah, that's good. So,
man,
what else is going on with you?
I saw Super Troopers 2.
How was it?
I wish I smoked something while watching it.
Like smoked barbecue, like meat?
Oh, yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. That would be awkward in the theater.
It was still all right. You know, it can never live up to the first one. They did a lot of allusions back to the original gags, but didn't like full-on go with the gags, which was a good idea. But... you know, a couple more watchings.
Did they say the word shenanigans at any point?
They did say shenanigans.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
But when they were walking into another restaurant in Canada, they said, this will never live up to shenanigans. And it was called something like shenanigans. It wasn't shenanigans. Like I said, they alluded back to things.
Okay.
They didn't repeat them.
Interesting. Yeah, I've seen that on TNT before. Yeah. And all right, Eddie. So, guys, you can find us on Twitter. I think Eddie forgot to do this. You can find us on Twitter at FightNightATX. You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find us anywhere else you can find us. Snapchat.
Are you still snapping?
No, I'm
You've
not.
You've given up the snapping.
I'm pretty giving up snapping.
Yeah.
And then you can find Eddie at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. And we are proud to be your MMA resource here on 104.9 The Horn.
That's right.
And as we know, this is part of Wednesday Warfare. Right after us, you're going to listen to Stu Myrick, who's actually been out in Las Vegas all week at the Cauliflower Alley wrestling. He's been at some wrestling shows out there all week.
And you see him hitting on The Rock's mom?
He saw Rob Van Dam. He saw The Rock's mom. He saw Kevin Sullivan. And
he's like, hey, she's single. I'm like, dude.
Dillon.
And
so he's been having a good time. So, but the biggest news for me, Eddie, man, my Dodgers took a big hit this week. Corey Seager, Tommy John surgery, out for the season to cap off already a kind of a poor start to the season for us.
Well, in the meantime, the Astros, you know, trotting out Deshaun Watson on Tuesday night. Did you see that?
I did not see.
Yeah.
Did he pitch?
First pitch.
Okay.
We just see him walking around in an Astros jersey. Like last year, he was walking around in a Warren Moon jersey. Like, that kid gets it. Way to suck up to the hometown.
Well, I mean, he played great last year. So, Eddie, did you watch Bellator this weekend? Bellator 198 from outside Chicago, Fedor versus Frank Mir. Did you watch the fights?
I did. Now, most of the main card I watched on Fast Forward.
Yep.
Luckily, there were tons of finishes.
It was quick. It's one of
those fights
the quickest,
did not take long.
I think the longest fight on the main card. It was the second fight of the night. It went to the second round, and it still ended in a submission, in an arm triangle, and that was Neiman Gracie.
Exactly. Yeah. It started off with the prodigy Dylan Dennis. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu phenom.
Yeah.
Also the coach over at SBG in Ireland, where Conor McGregor works out.
So he's
Conor's best friend.
Yeah, one of Conor's good friends.
Yeah.
And the guy who actually bailed him out of jail a couple weeks ago.
Because despite working in Ireland, Dylan Dennis is from America.
Yeah, based out of New York. So let's talk about that fight. So he fought Kyle Walker, a guy who had a losing record.
2-4, yeah.
And I thought it was, he kind of touched him up on the feet.
He did.
He landed to get some good shots on Dylan Dennis.
He looked like a guy who was 0-0.
Who? Dennis?
Dylan Dennis, yeah. He definitely looked like he was 0-0. You know, getting almost knocked down by a guy with a losing record.
It was interesting. As soon as Dylan Dennis was able to take him down, though, that fight ended quickly.
Yeah.
And he grabbed his leg, and then used the pain that he put Kyle Walker in when he got that toe hold.
Right.
I mean, those are painful. A toe hold is a very painful move.
You know, it's funny. Some fighters like to dismiss leg locks and footholds and toe holds because I don't know there's some kind of thing that fighters have against them. But then others are saying, we're just smart enough not to dismiss the whole half of the body. And here I'm always thinking, when you see someone down on his back, the other fighter standing above him, throwing up kicks, how come no one knows any leg locks? Guy kicks at you?
Just grab it and go?
Yeah. Dylan Dennis will definitely grab it and go.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I've done jiu-jitsu, I have gotten caught in toe holds like that. I mean, and it hurts to kind of maneuver the top of your foot over the way he did and have it go against, the muscle and the bone. It's very painful. And you saw how quickly he tapped and how he was writhing in pain afterwards.
The foot is a very sensitive spot. There's not much muscle down there. Lots of little bones. That's dangerous.
So is Dylan Dennis, though, trying too much to be like Conor McGregor?
Yes.
After the fight, calling it, even before the fight, I think he put some pictures up with him and Scott Coker, and I think he said it was co-owners.
Good Lord.
I thought there was a great picture. I saw Front Row Brian tweet it, and he tweeted that it was Dylan Dennis, and he said Dylan Dennis posing for a picture with a fan, and it was with Fedor. and then after the fight, he said everyone is going to be calling him out, all these bums. It's very Conor McGregor-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll see what happens. Who wants to call him out, where he wants to go? I mean, for a 1-0 fighter, he's making, he's got a lot to say.
It's not even like Colby Covington-esque. It's more like Covington is doing his impression of Conor, but he's more of an a-hole. Whereas Dennis is just, he's like the little kid trying to act like dad. And it doesn't come off right.
Hey, speaking of Colby Covington, did you see Luke Thomas of Sirius Fighting Radio? He put a tweet out of an AMA, so an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, of Colby Covington.
I love Luke. He's very angry.
Three or four years ago.
Okay.
And it's like, gee whiz. Like, Colby Covington is just like, I just want to fight. I can't wait. I want to have so much fun. I love going to other cultures, and it's so much fun. I'll fight wherever the UFC wants me to fight. I just love going into these places and fighting. And sometimes they boo me, and that's okay. I mean, not like Sage Northcutt-esque, but pretty close.
I was loving the voice that you put on that.
I mean, it was pretty close. Like, you could see where he just flipped that switch, and he realized that this is getting me nowhere. I need to change who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still called Chaos at that time, but the Chaos just went to a whole different level. And so it's interesting, you saw him change. And I was really glad that Luke actually sent that out because it's a big change of where he used to be.
I want early Colby to be a new character on the show.
Early Colby?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if I can do any Colby on
that was close enough.
So, but anyway, so go back to Dylan Danis. You had people like Michael Chandler, former Bellator champion.
Mm-hmm.
One like the face of Bellator, right? He kind of took umbrage with Dylan Danis earlier this year or late last year when Danis said that he was the highest paid fighter in Bellator.
I was really surprised that Michael Chandler even gave him the time of day.
Yeah.
Why would you mention him?
Well, these guys went back and forth. These guys went back and forth on Twitter, and he said, while he calls himself the highest paid fighter, he's probably the most unathletic fighter. See what he did?
Ooh.
Unathletic fighter, and then said, hashtag slow. And so it's interesting, those guys back and forth.
Burn.
But do you think that, would Michael Chandler ever entertain a fight with Dylan Danis? Does he think he's going to get paid more? Or
I'm not sure what he's
doing. Was that easy money?
It would be at this point, definitely. Like I said, I'm surprised he would even give him the time of day.
Danis actually, he called out Ben Askren after the fight in the back. and he just said that'd be easy money.
I want to see him fight the guy who won right behind him, Neiman Gracie, fellow welterweight. Member of the Gracie clan.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he had the longest fight of the night, of the main card, 3 minutes into the second round, which he won again by submission. The standing arm triangle. That was a good one.
Yeah, there always are. Other big wins, Rafael Lovato Jr. He fought Gerald Harris, who just came in.
This night was really full of some serious jiu-jitsu practitioners.
Yeah, you got Frank Mir, who didn't get to show that same jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Oh, we'll get to that one in a second.
And then Emmanuel Sanchez, who looked good against Sam Cecilia, now is calling for that shot at featherweight.
Yeah, I think it's almost time for him. I was surprised to see Sam Cecilia get taken out so quickly. But, you get a little older, you fight these new kids coming up, you think you're going over to Bellator and it's going to be a little easier. No such thing.
Yeah, that happens. All right, so let's get to the main event. That was
14 years in the making.
14 years in the making, and a very action-packed 48 seconds.
14 years, 4 month training camp, 48-second fight.
So Frank Mir, he comes in, I think right around 260, 265?
Yeah, 260-ish.
Right? Fedor comes in.
242, I believe.
A lot lighter.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. When I saw them standing up together, I was nervous for Fedor. He looked so much smaller. Frank Mir looked in much better shape.
Especially
Fedor.
Compared to the last time you saw him.
Yeah. And so I thought that this fight was going to go quickly, and it was not going to go in Fedor's way.
Well, you were half right.
Did go quickly.
Yes.
And it actually started off not so much going Fedor's way.
Very much
Fedor
so.
Fedor gets dropped immediately. Eats a punch, goes down, and as he's trying to get back up, he clinches with Frank Mir, and then he kind of trips him and takes him down.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think, though, that Frank Mir, as soon as he hits that first drop, I was like, okay, this fight's going to be over quickly.
I got to say, Fedor getting up quickly after taking Mir down, that was surprising. You would think that Mir, with his jiu-jitsu background, would have pulled guard and held him down.
Yeah, he'd do something.
For it that way. Did not happen, much to his chagrin.
So Fedor gets up and he starts kind of pressuring. And then one of the shots, as Frank Mir is leaning and coming in,
mm-hmm.
Fedor, he catches him with a right?
It was a left uppercut. He kind of stepped a little to the right as Mir kind of lunged almost past him. Fedor steps to his right and lands a short left uppercut right to the jaw.
Yeah, and he just puts Mir straight down.
Yeah.
Just falls straight down.
It was so quick and short that I didn't even see it the first time.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what happened, too. I had to rewind it.
Yeah.
And so finishes the fight. The ref pulls him off. Fedor Emelianenko defeats Frank Mir in 48 seconds. And
I was so disappointed. I at least wanted a full round, or at least three. Can I get 3 minutes? This fight has been 14 years in the making. Can we get 3 minutes? You don't train all that time to come out there swinging wildly like it's your first fight. This isn't a tough man competition. It's Bellator. It's the second highest level of mixed martial arts. And you come out there swinging like a wild man, and you get caught. That's what happens. Patience.
Man. So Frank Mir, former UFC champion, Fedor defeats.
Mm-hmm. How many is that now?
Andrei Arlovsky, Fedor defeats him.
That's two.
Tim Sylvia.
Three.
Fedor defeats him. Big Nog, Fedor defeats him. I'm sure Mark Coleman, he's got a win over Mark Coleman.
Five.
Let's see.
I mean, that's impressive by itself.
So the only former UFC heavyweight champion to defeat Fedor, do you know who it is?
Fabricio Werdum.
Fabricio Werdum. But he was not the UFC champion at the time that he fought Fedor.
They fought in Strikeforce.
Yes.
And that was actually Fedor's first loss in, like 10 years? A lot of people are saying that, oh, Fedor coming over here to the U.S. and fighting in a cage made a huge difference for him. I don't buy it so much. I know there is a difference in how you in your defense with the cage as opposed to the ropes and the give and the lack of give. I think it was more just time catching up with him, better fighters catching up with him. It's like you can't be as reckless as he tends to be this day and age and still maintain that streak.
So, Eddie, with the win, are you ready for this?
Hit me.
Fedor Emelianenko is going to be fighting the West Lynn gangster, Chael
West Lynn Street down here?
Not that one.
Sixth Street?
Chael P. Sonnen. Can you believe this? That's who Chael is literally going to be fighting. He's fighting Fedor. This is the guy who fought, you know, think about who he's been fighting recently. Rampage. Wanderlei Silva. Tito Ortiz. He will have fought Fedor. John Jones. Anderson Silva.
And hasn't he lost to all of them? He beat Rampage.
He beat Wanderlei.
Okay, yeah.
He almost beat John Jones.
That toe was nasty.
If John Jones just would have gotten disqualified, Chael would have won that fight.
Yeah.
You know?
He came a hair away from the middleweight and light heavyweight titles.
Yes. And now he's got a chance. He's in the semifinals to be the heavyweight champion of Bellator.
And this after how many failed drug tests?
Well, I mean, hey, exonerated.
He has paid his
debt to society.
He has paid his debt, yeah. But he was not exonerated.
That is true. So he comes in the cage and he's just talking, you know, all sorts of things.
He really flipped a switch because he's doing commentary all night,
saying all these nice things.
Yeah, being like a normal commentator. Then he gets in the cage and all of a sudden he hates Chicago, and Fedor's a bum. And the build up to this is going to be really interesting because it's going to be a one sided conversation.
Which Frank Mir also said this was a one-sided conversation, that Fedor doesn't bring anything to promoting fights.
Yeah, he brings his name. That's it.
And the sweater.
Don't forget the bobblehead.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just going to be Chael talking smack, and Fedor sitting there quietly like a serial killer.
What chance do you give Chael Sonnen to defeat Fedor?
If Fedor gets his foot caught between the mat and the cage, a la Michael Chandler.
A la Jake Ellenberger.
Chael can take this.
I mean, there's a path to victory for Chael, and it's a much better path than it was against Frank Mir.
To me, it seems like the same path. Same lack of a path. The difference is Fedor doesn't use his submissions as much.
Okay. I think
he can.
Yeah.
He just doesn't.
I think you're underestimating Chael's wrestling. And his ability, I mean, he is one of the...
I'm just matching it up against Fedor Sambo, and I'm saying they're basically canceling each other out.
Yeah, I think Chael can keep him down. And the only way he wins is he grinds out a decision. He's not going to stop him.
Okay, you're forgetting that not only is Fedor going to be, 20 to 30 pounds heavier than Chael?
No, I don't think probably not 30, maybe 10 to 15. But Chael will come in, you know...
Let's call it 20.
Chael looked big facing off against Fedor on Saturday night.
He was wearing a jacket.
Shoulder pads. The jacket.
It had to have shoulder pads. Okay. Come on, yeah. Yeah. So he's going to have the weight advantage, strength advantage. I think the wrestling is going to cancel each other out. So now you're left with standing, and he's definitely got the power advantage there.
Fedor.
Yes. To me, it seems like easy money for Fedor.
You watch. Chael Sonnen going to the heavyweight tournament where he's going to get murdered by Matt Mitrione.
I'd give him a better chance against Matt Mitrione.
No, that would be rough.
Oh, it'll be rough, but I'd just say a better chance.
So what do you think? Is this best case scenario for Bellator? They put Fedor versus Chael?
I think so, because Chael's gonna do a great job of selling the fight. Fedor is gonna bring all the old school and hardcore fans. So you've got a good mix there. Had it been Chael and Frank Mir, you'd have had a lot of talk. And you still would have had some of the stuff going on. Hello, who's there? But I think this is the best case scenario for them. And it's funny that they have a basically a legend side of the bracket and a current fighter side.
It makes me feel good that you acknowledge that Chael Sonnen is a legend, because those are your words, not mine.
He's a legendary talker.
Legend.
He steals all his.
Wait
he steals,
for it, Derry.
He steals all his material from wrestling legends.
Okay. So, well, but everyone does. You know, I mean, that's the best. That's the best material is.
Very true.
So, and so you think that we know we're a couple weeks away from Bader and King Mo.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think that's who do you think comes out of that?
That is a tough one. I still haven't made up my mind.
Okay.
It feels like Bader's going to be bigger, but King Mo, he's fought at heavyweight multiple times. He's also a college wrestler. He's going to have the speed advantage. They both got power. That's a really tough one.
I just think, you know, Matt Mitrione has just got to be looking at this being like, okay, great. This is easy to punch my ticket to the finals here and win this thing.
Can you find our predictions from when it started?
No, I can't.
You just don't care.
And nor do I. I mostly just choose not to. So,
Fight snob right there, buddy.
But yeah, this is fun. I mean, this was good. I was interested in seeing this. Fedor fighting is a big fight. And that's important.
Yep.
The real kicker, though, Eddie, is going to be when someone gets injured. And they've already announced that it's going to be Krokop versus Roy Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to step in and be an alternate for one of these fights. So we could see
I'm looking forward to that fight.
We could see Krokop versus Fedor.
Oh, how about that? Man.
That's the really only fight I want to see there.
I really just want someone to kind of Tanya Harding, Chael Sonnen, just so we can see that fight.
That, you know, that hurts. Are you watching her on Dancing with the Stars, The Athletes?
What?
Yeah, Tanya Harding. On Dancing with the Stars, which I don't understand.
Did she already do that or something?
No. At what? I mean, they don't do that in jail. At what point, Eddie, are we like now glorifying like Tanya Harding? Like the movie I Tanya came out and she's there at the Oscars happy. But how do we get to the point where we're like, yeah, we're good with this. We're good with you.
Where have you been the last couple of years? We're in the downfall of society, buddy.
Oh, that's probably,
you know. Don't even make me go all the way back to Mike Tyson.
What's right? That's true. I mean, you think about, you know, Mike Tyson. Beloved now.
But hey, as you would say, exonerated.
That's true.
Pay their debt to society.
Well, let's not. I think maybe a little bit different what Mike Tyson did and what Chael Sonnen did.
Paid their debt to society.
As you, as a big fan of Greg Hardy, I could see you would say they keep
them
the same
don't
level.
Don't start that again.
But I'm just
I
saying.
I will come across this table.
I disagree. I'm going to stand for something higher, Eddie. And I'm going to, you know, I want to keep those separate.
It's not hard to be higher than me.
Well, that's true. Eddie, so Bellator 198. Although it was, you know, not really heavily watched, it was still a fun event. It was good to see Fedor versus Frank Mir.
Definitely.
All right, guys. We will be right back. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo, what up with that? What up with that? Yes, sir.
Jordan, you will be proud of me. I am caught up on Saturday Night Live.
Well, get ready, because this week you've got Donald Glover. And his alter ego, Childish Gambino.
Childish Glover?
That's going to be the week this week. You know he's promoting, obviously. He's not promoting ACL.
Not ACL?
He is probably promoting Atlanta, obviously.
Atlanta, okay.
But also Solo. Solo comes out mid-May. That's the Han Solo story. And May 25th. And he's Lando Calrissian.
Nice.
And then you've got, after that, you've got Amy Schumer and you've got Tina Fey. And that wraps up season 43 of SNL.
43.
So,
wow.
Like, you were probably, like, 15 when it started?
I'm coming across this table.
Oh, I mean, because I wasn't born. You know, I've got years till I was born after that, so. But it's cool, Eddie. It's fine.
Listen, troll. I've got to find a troll. What does a troll sound like? If you know what a troll sounds like, send me a YouTube link or something, because we're going to use that for Jordan.
You know what's funny? When I was five or six, my parents went to Norway.
Okay.
And they brought me back a shirt that had a troll on it.
See, they knew back then.
They knew back then. And I actually kept that shirt for probably 10 to 15 years because it was like the softest shirt I ever had. Finally, my mom had to throw it away. But my good friend Peter, he always made fun of my troll shirt. And he actually went back to Sweden and Norway, he actually bought me a troll shirt. So
I expect to see that next week.
I don't have it still, but like a wonderful good friend. And shout out and love goes out to Peter and his family, who is going through a tough time right now. But
let's go back to
What Up With That, Eddie. Take it away.
Last week, Dana White announced that World Series of Fighting and LFA fighter Nick Newell would finally get his shot in the UFC, sort of. What's up with that?
Yeah, so this is, like you just mentioned, he's the former World Series of Fighting champion. He just fought in LFA. Nick Newell.
Was he a champion?
No, he was not. Excuse me. He fought for the championship against Justin Gaethje.
That's right.
He's getting his shot in the Dana White Contender Series this summer. And that's a program where their fighters will fight on there. Just because you win doesn't mean you get a contract.
But it's basically a tryout.
But it's a tryout. Sean O'Malley, he went through this. And we've talked about Nick Newell in the past. This is, he's got a congenital arm. He's got a congenital amputation in his left arm, mm-hmm. which ends just below his elbow. And Dana White has been pretty vocal before saying that, you know, he would never bring Nick Newell in there. And there's probably some worry that goes around there that what's it look like if he gets, you know, knocked out brutally, if he gets kicked in the head, which he's tried to debate, like, look, I can defend myself from the kick.
Well, everyone gets kicked in the head.
And so the look of that, you know, I think the UFC's kind of been afraid of that. But Nick Newell has been posturing and asking and requesting this shot. Mm-hmm. Finally, he went to the UFC headquarters last week with his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, and they got it done.
Manager to the stars.
So he is coming on Dana White Contender Series. It'll be this summer. Eddie, Nick Newell's got a 14-1 record.
Mm-hmm.
He fought people like Justin Gaethje. He fought him well. But do you think that this is the right way to bring him in, or is this beneath him?
It's the right way for the UFC, because with this, they can do so much promotion for the Contender Series. You know, they've got this big story, and the same thing with Greg Hardy. They've got this huge story to tell, and that's going to bring a lot of eyeballs to the Contender Series. And for them trying to get a new TV deal, that's big.
So if you were Nick Newell, would you be offended that this is the way they bring you in?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah.
How about the fact that Nick Newell, who we're really happy for him, this is great. This is great for people with disabilities to show mm-hmm. that they can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the only people that he's ever fought, only two of them have Wikipedia pages. So is he fighting Tim
Kaines? He beat him.
Not all of them. Justin Gaethje is one of them.
No, he beat the, okay.
He beat the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the people is Justin Gaethje, has a Wikipedia page,
mm-hmm.
and then he beat the other one.
Hey, if they could bring in CM Punk with no training, Nick Newell should be fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is good. You know, I've heard this other places. You know, if you go on... If you go on a Contender Series, you have Dana White kind of behind you and supporting you, and this is a good way of mm-hmm. vehicle to bring him in. They show that, hey, we brought him on the show, he did well, and now we bring him along. So,
but like you say, the thing about it being beneath him, he has won 14 professional fights.
Sure.
You know how many Greg Hardy has won?
Professional?
Yes.
Zero.
Exactly. Yeah. He's had two amateur fights.
But you have people like you championing his cause, so let's go to the next one.
I'm going to Rochambeau you right now.
That's literally a name for rock, paper, scissors. What are you going to do?
Well, if you watch South Park, it's also named for just kicking you in the nards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Don't watch South Park.
You should see Cartman. Now, Michael Bisping is still hoping to get one last fight in before retiring, and a new name for an opponent came up. Could it happen? What's up with that?
Yeah, let's hope so. So a few weeks ago, Eddie, we said that Nick Diaz was going to come off his...
Older brother to Conor Conqueror Nate Diaz.
...was coming off a suspension of 1 year for a failed whereabouts violation.
Which means they didn't know where he was to test him.
So the drug test people from USADA
apparently don't have Snapchat.
They come and they were trying to find him and he wasn't where he was, where he said he was going to be.
Yeah, they don't have Snapchat because he was in a club.
You get a penalty. And so, anyways, Nick Diaz is a rumor that he is coming back. And one of the fight that's been brought up is against Michael Bisping.
The press conferences would be so good.
Now, Michael Bisping has said that the fight hasn't been offered, and he is probably retired, but he would be interested in coming back for a fight against Nick Diaz. Now, but the old caveat is that he wants that fight at light heavyweight.
Oof.
So it's 205 pounds. Nick Diaz fights at 170. He's a welterweight.
Yeah.
And while he hasn't been training, he does do triathlons. I just can't see him really going up to 205. Maybe meet somewhere in the middle. It just doesn't seem like the fight at 205 is going to happen.
Yeah, he could have done 185.
Yeah.
But doing triathlons, he's probably pretty thin now.
Yeah, he is. But news on another Diaz. Brett Okamoto from ESPN and MMA Fighting's Ariel Helwani have both reported that sources say that Nate Diaz is in serious talks to mm-hmm. come back August 4th, UFC 227. Don't have an opponent just yet.
Now, when they say they're having a discussion, this is how I envision the discussion going. UFC says, hey, would you like to come back on August 4th? Diaz says,
give me money.
Is it Connor? UFC says, no. Diaz says, screw you guys. And technically, they've had a conversation about him coming back in August.
But that's not a serious conversation. Well, I think the serious conversation
who calls it serious?
Is this Connor? And he says, no, maybe someone else. And he says, tell me more.
And
that's serious.
No, he says, how much?
Yeah. They're talking about money.
And, you know, Nate didn't call it serious. Ariel did, right?
Well, so did Brett and Ariel. But, you know. Yeah.
That just means whoever fed them the information called it serious.
That's true.
Yeah. So, speaking of people coming back, Chad Mendez will be coming off his 2-year suspension next month and is looking to fight again in July. What's up with that?
All right. So, in June 2016, it was announced that Chad Mendez had tested positive for GHRP6. Okay. And that's something that's on the USADA banned list.
It sounds banned.
And he kind of took ownership of it. He said, look, I didn't realize that it was in there. I dropped the ball. I'm going to take my punishment. And he stepped away from the sport for 2 years. And we really haven't heard anything about Chad Mendez. He's been out doing his outdoor kind of company, hunting, fishing. But the suspension is up. And this is, you know, Chad Mendez, who was coming off of 2 losses to Connor, to Frankie Edgar. He has both those losses to Jose Aldo. But he is a top 10 featherweight. Now, the only interesting thing is that the featherweight top 10 has now changed a little bit. You've got people like Josh Emmett and Darren Elkins, who are both in the top 10, who are now both his teammates. So with all that said, and with the fights that we know that are out there, Eddie, what do you want to see next for Chad Mendez? Where does he match up?
Duho Choi.
So he's ranked like 13th, right? Where's Duho Choi?
14th. That was last week.
He's already dropped down.
Yeah, I don't think you come back off a 2-year suspension and just immediately jump right into the top 5, top 10. He can go top 15, and Duho Choi would be a great matchup to find out how Ho Choi does against a strong wrestler.
Says the guy that wanted John Bones Jones to come back in for a title fight after a suspension. But keep going. You tell me more.
It's a 2-year suspension. How much has John been suspended for?
2 years.
I mean, this last time.
Well, we don't know yet.
Exactly. Stop trolling. Where's my sounder?
Please go on.
Anyway, Duho Choi would be a great matchup. You've got a name. You've got someone that you know puts on great fights. And basically, Chad needs to show that he can face up against another top striker because he hasn't done so well. Edgar, Aldo, McGregor. So let's see what he does against another top striker after a 2-year layoff.
How about Cub Swanson? Cub's coming off a loss?
I think Cub needs to have someone higher.
Well, Cub's not going to get anyone higher. Who's higher than Cub? And I'll tell you who he's not going to get.
Jeremy Stevens?
Okay, nope. Already fighting Aldo.
Loser of that fight?
Okay. He already fought. Cub's already fought Jeremy Stevens, so.
He's already fought Aldo.
So he's not going to get either of those.
He can run one of them back.
He's not getting. First off, that fight isn't happening until July 28th, the Jeremy Stevens versus Aldo.
Cub doesn't need to rush.
Oh, he probably wants to. He wants to get some money. He's got a new baby.
Yeah.
Well. Okay, so who else? Who's ahead of Cub?
That's it? Yeah.
Brian Ortega, Frankie Edgar.
Max Holloway.
Cub's not going to get anybody above him.
No, I didn't say above him, just higher than where Mendez is.
Mendez is not on the list, so
exactly.
He can be anywhere.
That's why he shouldn't be fighting Mendez.
Cub's been calling out Renato Moicano.
Chan Sung Jung? Okay. Renato Moicano, okay.
That's who Cub is looking for.
Oh, okay.
But Moicano could be in there. I think Mirsad Bektik would be a good fight for Chad Mendez. Chan Hung Sung is coming off of injury, and he's not going to be coming back till the end of the year, so that may be
Zabit.
Not in the Zabit. I think Zabit versus Yair Rodriguez should be the fight. Hmm. So
is he going to take time off for Ramadan?
Ramadan,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know his background in that.
You know what they say about those Magomeds? The more Magomeds you have in your name, the tougher the fighter. So one day, you face Magomedov.
Now you have to give some.
I'm stealing this one.
From who? Who's that from?
That was Chad Dundas?
I mean.
Yeah. Anyways.
I don't know. If I stole something, I would know where I stole it from, Eddie.
That's what I said. They say.
Okay. Come on.
God, stop trolling.
You better attribute that to somebody. Come on.
I just did.
Okay. I apologize. Chad, Ben, I'm sorry for Eddie. Okay?
Go ahead. For yourself. Sorry for your face.
Keep going.
TMZ caught up with Dana White this week. Asked him about the quote-unquote punishment the UFC would be giving to Conor McGregor. What's up with that? And hurry up, we're running out of time.
All right, so you saw the headline from TMZ that said, Dana White to punish Conor McGregor after New York State punishes him. But that's not exactly what they said. They asked Dana White what they're going to do with him. And what did Dana White say?
The usual.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens after New York deals with him. Guys, I hate to break this to you. There's a difference between we will punish and we'll see. And we'll see means that we will do, how does Connor say it? You'll do nothing. You'll do nothing.
When your son Drake asks you for an expensive toy and you say, we'll see, what does that mean, Jordan?
That means that he's not getting it. So,
Has he learned that yet?
Yeah, I don't know. They are not punishing Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor will fight in 2018.
I think it'll be 19.
Okay.
Early 19, yeah.
All right, well, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, and lastly, best wishes to UFC flyweight Ray Borg and his family. Man, you hear about this?
I did. I was happy for him. I think it was Monday that they finally stopped some seizures and he was able to hold him. So yeah. Best wishes to Anthony.
Yeah, his
to
son Borg. Had multiple brain surgeries.
Yeah, so that's never fun. And yeah. So best wishes to him. So
all right, we've got a lot of them here, Jordan. Hit us with the new fights.
All right, Eddie. So Santiago Ponzinibbio is out of his fight as the headliner of UFC Chile versus Kamaru Usman.
Hey, the Pons.
That was going to be in May 19th, so just a few weeks away. Mm-hmm. And the UFC was struggling to try to find someone to replace him.
You know why, right?
Because no one wants Kamaru Usman.
You know why, right?
Why?
He's a problem.
He is a problem. And Damian Maia, who's coming off a loss to Tyron Woodley, coming off a loss to Colby Covington, both these guys, he has stepped up to fight Kamaru Usman. And a win like that for Usman, that puts him in the top five in the division.
If it did it for Covington,
and
it may as well.
Forces a fight for the top five to take Usman. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, although it's a bad move for Maia, I think.
Yeah,
those two losses were against really good wrestlers, and now he's going to take on another one on short notice.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Not a good
call. All right, other fights. Anthony Pettis versus Michael Chiesa.
Running the back.
Got rebooked. You've got Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens, UFC on Fox 30. That's the co-main event. You've got John McDessie versus Ross Pearson. That's always a fun fight. You've got Stefan Struve. He's fighting Marcin Tybura.
Oh, in Hamburg. That's cool.
In Hamburg. Junior Dos Santos is fighting Blagoy Ivanov in UFC Boise. Can you believe the UFC is going to Boise?
Well, they went to Hidalgo. So.
But they're going to Boise. That's
Boise's
so
bigger than Hidalgo. That's, yeah.
Israel Adesanya taking a big step up in competition against Brad Tavares at the UFC Tough Finale.
That's a big dude.
Sage Northcutt is fighting Zach Otto at Boise.
That's a good one.
You know, no one belongs in Boise more than Sage Northcutt. Yoani and Jacek is fighting Tisha Torres at that fight in Calgary on that Fox card. And then this one. So, Eddie, we are trying to find out what the main event is at this Fox card in Calgary.
And when is that?
That's July 28th.
Okay.
So we heard that it was going to be Nico Montaña versus Valentina Shevchenko.
For the main event?
For the main event. She's got a main event something. Mm. Eddie, you make that face. She has to main. I mean, eventually.
How many times did Yoani and Jacek main event?
She has before on a Fight Pass card against Jessica Penne.
Okay, so if they make it Fight Pass, sure.
So, but yeah, it's a Fox card, and you have Jeremy Stephens on it. You've got Jose Aldo on the undercard already. You've got some good fights. Now you got Yoani and Jacek on that fight card as well. That'll be on the main card on Fox. So if you put enough stuff around it, you can do that. But you can put it on free TV.
Okay.
But
I'm with you.
The UFC, so Ariel Helwani from MMA Fighting has said that, this is what he tweeted today, that the UFC is losing patience with Nico Montaña. As I reported last week, the plan was for her to defend the 125 title against Valentina Shevchenko in Calgary, but they're having a hard time getting a commitment from her. While it's not scrapped, they are now looking at other options. So Nico Montaña, she took offense to this.
Well, she did not like that
at all.
She
took big offense to this, and she talked about how she is 5 days post a tonsillectomy and an adenoid removal surgery.
That sounds fun.
Due to a bacterial infection that's been inhibiting my practice all year.
Oh.
Soon as I can get back on the mats is in 16 more days. And the UFC not only knows this, but flew me out to Vegas themselves to get this surgery done ASAP. And so she was complaining that why is Ariel Helwani saying why she's not responding when she just had the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you. Verbal communication, Eddie, is not the only way to communicate. You can always communicate via text, via email. There's other ways to communicate. And what Ariel Helwani said, she's actually doesn't do, and then she kind of goes off and goes, and she's...
She really went off on him.
She wasn't awful on him. This was terrible for Nico Montaña. Not only is she the worst UFC champion in history... and I mean, the fact that the UFC thinks that too. When did she win? When did she win that title? Back in December?
Yes.
Have you seen her at a fight? Have you seen her showcase?
Didn't she have a broken foot?
Does not matter. Have you seen her showcase?
Oh, no. They have not done anything with her.
Have you even heard her name on a broadcast besides the one when Valentina Shevchenko beat that fight? And they're probably like, hey, Valentina Shevchenko is going to beat Nico Montaña next. They have not done any. And she's like 4,000 Twitter followers. And now she alienated like the number one like journalist in MMA who has the biggest following and a show. This is terrible.
Luckily for her, he's not a very vindictive guy. But she did call him a lot of names.
She did. And nothing that he said was actually like that like wrong. That the UFC is losing patience with Nico. They probably are. They probably want her to fight because they want to get that belt off of her. They're so done with her.
Okay? Well, she is basically the flyweight equivalent of Carla Esparza.
Possibly. So,
Eddie,
that's it for fights. Maybe that fight gets booked, but we'll see.
All right, we're out of time. We'll be right back. The champ is here.
Eddie, I'm bringing us in right now. The champ is here. Gennady Golovkin is going to be defending two of his three belts, the WBC and the WBA belts, this weekend against Vanes Martirosyan.
Ooh, good job.
And they're going to be in the StubHub Center in California. It's going to be on HBO. Now, this is a replacement.
Isn't that your backyard?
It is my backyard. This is a replacement for Canelo Alvarez, who we know will not be fighting because of his clenbuterol issues.
That tainted beef, man.
Meat. And are you excited? I mean, how does this end up good for Gennady Golovkin?
Am I excited? No. He's going to make a good payday.
Does he have to knock him out? Is that it?
I don't think it matters what he does. I mean, even if he knocks him out, he's supposed to. And if he doesn't knock him out and doesn't have a good showing, that's really bad for his next fight.
Yeah, which is probably going to be Canelo in September.
But if it is Canelo in September, then he's going to lose the IBF belt because they're going to strip him. Because the only way that they're sanctioning his fight this time is that he has a mandatory defense against a name I cannot pronounce.
Coming up.
Yeah, in 90 days.
Yeah, I saw that. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if they can get that Canelo fight up there.
But he's really been trying to unify all four belts. Right now he's got three of the major belts and the other minor belt, the IBO. Still waiting on the WBO? So that's the last one. The WBO belt's held by Britain's Billy Joe Saunders. So that's the last one that he needs. So if he lets the IBF go,
he's just going to get it back.
I don't see it happening. I think he's going to push off Canelo until next May.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Maybe December?
Obviously, if Vanes goes to the decision, that's a victory for him, a world victory.
Right.
And isn't he trained by Edmund Tavares?
Tervurdian?
Tervurdian, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I think he's got some ties to Edmund as well. So,
either way, he hasn't fought in like 2 years. He's not a natural middleweight. He fights a junior middleweight. So those two reasons are why the IBF wouldn't sanction the fight. So he's going to be smaller, a little bit taller, but smaller than Triple G. But he is 4 years younger and in a no-lose situation. So who knows? Could have a Michael Bisping, Buster Douglas situation.
Yeah, Edmund Tervurdian.
A Nico Montaña situation.
Edmund Tervurdian, who was Ronda Rousey's trainer. He actually trains Vanes, or he did
head
train.
Movement? Yeah. Head movement?
Head movement. You're going to hear a lot of that. So, man, it's going to be interesting. So also, what's going on this weekend?
For you hardcore fans out there, former UFC fighter Sarah Kaufman is fighting for the vacant Invicta Bantamweight title. And if you feel like staying up late, Ryzen number 10, you'll see former UFC fighters Darren Cruikshank, Diego Nunes, Kyoji Horiguchi, and Ian McCall.
Hey, well, you know, Eddie, you know there's a good chance that I will be watching? None of those things. I'm going to be watching Cobra Kai, the remake of Karate Kid. So what's going on in the life of Johnny Lawrence and Daniel's son? Yeah, what's going on with them? So guys, it's been a lot of fun this week. Stay tuned for Stu and Justin next on Sports Guys Talking Wrestlings. Find us online, rate, review, give us a post. Find us on
Twitter, your friends.
Fight Night ATX on Twitter and Instagram. We are proud to be your MMA resource for 104.9 and thehorn.com and hornfm.com. And guys, have a great week and enjoy the fights this weekend.
And if anyone can send me a troll sound, at Eddie Experience.
Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.